everybody is happy, including the play-by-play voice of the Toronto Raptors, Matt Devlin. Matt, are you happy?
It's been an emotional roller coaster. I'm trying to make it through. But last night I left happy. Yes.
Good. I'm glad, because nobody likes anybody to be unhappy, right?
Yeah. Things were not happy on Thursday. I can tell you that.
Now, there's only so many times a year I think a coach can go to that, what Casey did on Thursday night. How many times a year do you think he does that?
Well, I'll tell you this. That's the first players-only meeting that I am aware of for this season. And then, obviously, the coach, you know, as well being involved. He doesn't go to them often. You could probably count on one hand over the course of the six seasons that he's been with the Raptors. But I think that it was due.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team that, since the middle of January, is 13-16. And I understand Patrick Patterson was out for a little while, and DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. But from an effort standpoint, last Thursday it wasn't there. And in talking to Corey Joseph, DeMar DeRozan, they said, look, this was Friday when the Raptors were in Detroit. We can't guarantee a win, but we're going to guarantee that, you know, we're going to work hard tonight. And, you know, that's exactly what they did. It was not a pretty evening for the Raptors as far as the fluidity of the game. But yet, you know, they dug in and defensively came away with that. And then on, you know, last night, Sunday night, things started to click offensively for them, which was the first time really since Washington, which was a great win post All-Star, that we saw that.
It's funny, you know, Maddie, when if at the beginning of the year, for many people, it was one of those seasons where it was, well, it'll be great to watch the regular season, but we, you know, it, what will matter will be how they perform when the postseason begins. And that's kind of the way it's played out in a way. There have been ups and downs, but in terms of being meaningful and deciding what this team is or isn't, we're not going to know until the first round of the playoffs.
Well, you're not going to know, but you're certainly going to be able to get signs. And I think that that's something that you have to have, you know, over the course of this time without Kyle Lowry.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality of it is that bringing in Serge Ibaka as well as PJ Tucker are two big moves, because it gives Dwayne Casey two players defensively that he can really rely on. And I think that that, to me, was the most impressive thing about, you know, what really came about Thursday night. PJ Tucker, you know, the way that he talked post game, PJ Tucker knowing that, hey, look, I came here, I've been with Phoenix, I came here to win, that we have something special here. And Serge Ibaka having played in the NBA Finals. And it stands out like last night when you have a player like Paul George, where you can put PJ Tucker on him. And that's the great value there. Serge Ibaka, you can slide him over to the five, and you see what he's able to do defensively there. I think those are important things as you head into the postseason, because those habits you have to have. And I also would say this, that, you know, what can we expect from Kyle when he comes back?
Mm-hmm.
That's the great unknown. And we've seen it over the last 3 years where he's taken some time off leading into the postseason, and he hasn't come back sharp with his shot. And so this is a surgery to his right wrist. How will he respond? How will his shot go? So it's important for, I think, these other pieces to really be integrated, ready to go, and then rolling once the postseason happens. And I think that, if anything, what's proven to us is that this is a team that can grind it out and win games, and that's what you need to be able to do come postseason time.
We're with Matt Devlin, the play-by-play voice of the Raptors. And Matt, I've become really fascinated with deadline acquisitions and what they do and what they don't do and the effect they can have on a group, particularly their players who change the way the rotation goes from before. So Ibaka's in and Tucker's in and Lowry's out. Do you get a sense at all that maybe it's a team that's a bit, I don't know if emotionally messed up is the proper term, but they're trying to figure out, okay, where does everybody fit and what are all the new roles in the short time after the deadline?
Well, that's always the case, you know, as both of you know, when you make a deadline deal. And those are two big personalities that have been brought in with respect to how they play on the court. And so to me, they're two great needs. So you take out a Pascal Siakam. You needed a four. With the way Patrick Patterson was playing, you needed a four, and that's what you got in Serge Ibaka. And then P.J. Tucker, who can play multiple positions, as can Serge Ibaka, and block multiple or guard multiple positions, which you need. Those are all things that, yes, it takes time to figure out and find out. And I think that we're starting to see signs that they are, because within this, the ebbs and flows over the course of the last 13 games since the All-Star break, you could tell that there were nights where Dwayne Casey's just looking out there going, okay, I need guys that, and we heard him say this, right? 7-8 guys. I need to find 7-8 guys that are willing to give it to me. And so yet you have that, but then you also have the fact that you need to bring these two players in and also have some rhythm as this season progresses and will end here, you know, in the next 3 weeks.
I'm wondering what they'll do down the stretch, Matt, in terms of resting guys and getting, or will they go, you know, pedal to the floor the whole way to get the highest seed, and how much of a difference it'll make? I mean, fourth or fifth, third versus, I mean, I guess third right now you'd get Indiana, so maybe you'd feel good about that based on yesterday. What's your feel?
I'm not a big rest guy. I don't know how you guys are. This is
I need a lot of rest, Matt.
Yeah, I'm getting old, Matt. I don't know about you, but you know, I need it.
It's a good point. We are all getting older, and we do need those NBA NHL naps in the middle of the day. Although I'm always afraid to take them because I'm always afraid to sleep through the alarm clock, so I never do.
It's but like anyway, that nightmare about sleeping through the exam you used to have.
Okay,
yes.
Totally. Yes. I think I've taken in my 15 plus years, I think I've taken all of five of them. But anyway, all of 18 players last year played all 82 games. I am a proponent of 82 games. I think if you're going to get rest, go out and do it the way the Raptors did it yesterday. And that was they went out and they handled their business against Indiana. And DeMar DeRozan was able to sit for a lengthy period of time. Mm-hmm. I don't know who on this team that you really want to rest right now. In fact, I would say the opposite. I think that because, going back to what we were discussing earlier, you really do need to find out role definition. You really need to find out who exactly is going to be in that eight-man rotation once you have Kyle Lowry back. And so to me, I would actually go the opposite of going with these players all the way through these games, including DeMar DeRozan, and just have it such that if you get up, then you're going to manage those minutes. But other than that, you know, I think it's not even about where you finish. I think it's more about making sure that all these pieces fit together and are ready to go once Kyle comes back. And once he comes back, you're definitely going to want to have those key pieces out there on the floor with him so that they can get into, you know, some sort of fluid emotion.
I guess my last one for you, Matt, is just we've talked a little bit about Lowry. Is there any, since the surgery and everything, is there anything you've heard that makes you worry he won't be back for the playoffs?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because that tweet that came out was weird. Mm. Like, we're aiming for the him to return for the playoffs.
Well, you always are cautious, right?
I mean,
it's why the NHL is upper body injury, lower body injury, right?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's always cautious. But by all accounts, you know, he'll be ready to go. I think that it's important that they have him back. He does provide, you know, something that, you know, they need, and that is, you know, three-point shooting. He was top five in the league in three-point field goals made when he was injured. We understand how at times he can take over a game. He doesn't impose his will unless they desperately need it, and I think the team needs it. And I think part of why they've struggled, look, they've played outside of Oklahoma City. They've played great defense since the All-Star break. They really have. the reality of it is that they haven't shot the ball consistently. And, you know, the last couple of games in which they have been able to shoot the three, it's really helped them out.
Do you take any encouragement at all, or should the Raptors and their fans take any encouragement at all at the fact that the you look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, they've got 23 losses. They're 5-5 in their last 10. They're not, you know, and there's a lot of reasons, and we all know all the talent they have, but they're not wowing it like they did last year. What's your, should other teams in the East be encouraged by the state of the Cleveland Cavaliers in any shape or form?
It's a grind, and both of you know this, you know, from following the NHL the way that you both follow it, that it's a grind.
Yep.
And the Cleveland Cavaliers went the distance last year, as did Golden State. And injuries happen along the way. You have LeBron James, who is the best player in the world. I know this stat may be old now, but they at one point, and this is going back, you know, a couple of weeks back, they were 4-19 without LeBron James. And it tells you the importance of LeBron James. I think LeBron is thinking, hey, let's finish first if we can. That's good. Let's be healthy. Let's make sure that we're set, because I'm going to make another run. He's been to six consecutive NBA finals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's truly remarkable what he's done. So when you look at the East, I think that everybody right now is probably looking at, if you're Boston, you want to make sure that Isaiah Thomas, who they haven't had as of late, is scheduled to come back tonight. You want to make sure he's ready to go. The Cleveland Cavaliers are looking around at their big three saying, okay, are you guys ready to go? If you're Washington, you're just feeling really good about the fact that after all these years where you've just not been able to really put anything together, that now all of a sudden it appears as though John Wall is the player that you thought he would be, and you found the right coach in Scott Brooks. So I don't know that anybody looks at Cleveland and says, oh, you know, this is a team that's maybe vulnerable. But I do believe that Boston, Washington, and Toronto are three teams that do believe that they can take the Cleveland Cavaliers in a series when healthy. And I do believe the Raptors are the second-best team in the East when healthy. And I do believe that they are a team that could quite possibly get back to where they were last season, but it's all going to depend upon health.
It's funny, you know, the only teams that are really hot in the East right now, Milwaukee and Miami, go figure. Everybody else is just sort of going along.
You know, it's funny too, Matt. Like, you look at now, you know, Golden State resting their players, San Antonio resting their players, Cleveland resting their players. It's like, get to March, kind of establish our position, and then rest almost becomes more important than the way you finish the regular season. To me, it's a fascinating storyline in the sport.
Well, it is. Real quick, Miami is playing tremendous basketball right now. They have been since January 1st. They are a team that, you know, is right there in that ninth spot, and I think could quite possibly get into the top eight with Detroit being knocked out. But it's an interesting topic of conversation with respect to the resting, because as we all know, Doc Rivers and a few other people made comments the other night on a nationally televised game where Cleveland sat their three stars. And, you know, the schedule maker for the NBA, Matt Winnick, retired. They're going more now to a computer-based schedule. And Bernie Bickerstaff, who's a longtime NBA coach, now scout, he and I were having this conversation. He said, you know, computers don't have compassion. And it's interesting, I've talked to everybody in the league with respect to all the different teams that we've met along the way, and everybody has, you know, a crazy story how just the way the schedule has played out, where you could be out for 2 weeks, you come back for one game, and then you're back out on the road. So it's lent itself, I think, to a lot of teams resting players more so than maybe even they have in the past. And I'll give you one quick example of what I think needs to be rectified in the future with respect to the schedule. The Raptors played a Friday game against Atlanta, lost, traveled, got into Miami at 3 a.m, played that night, and lost at the end of a five-game road trip. Miami didn't play the night before.
Mm-hmm.
Raptors did. Miami was ready to go Saturday night. They then left. So this isn't even a Raptor issue. They then left, lost an hour, daylight savings time, traveled to Indianapolis, arrived at 4 in the morning, really was 5 at that time. They played an Indiana team that Sunday night. They ended up losing. Oh, by the way, Indiana didn't play on Saturday night. Yeah. And so if you're going to put teams into back-to-backs, put both teams into back-to-backs from a competitive standpoint.
Good stuff, Matt. Computers don't have compassion. When they are running in the world, you're going to be in trouble.
Or at least the NBA schedule is going to be in trouble.
That's right.
Now, Matty, go take a nap. Okay?
Go ahead, seriously.
Yeah, you know what? It's about that time. It's too late for that. Come on. You can't nap at 5:30.
You'll go to bed at 5:30. You'll wake up at 10. You'll be totally screwed up for tomorrow.
You'll be thinking, did I miss the game?
Absolutely.
Sounding good these days, though, Matt. We're enjoying your broadcasts.
Appreciate it, bud.
Good to hear from you.
All the best.